Okay, well, Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, three lines to the end of the page. 24:84. Okay, the Mishnah said like this. If somebody says, I trust my father, your father is a judge, okay, or three cattle people are believed even though they're normally not kosher dayanim, so everybody says they're kosher because you chose them. But the Rameir says you could change your mind. Chachamim said, you can't change your mind. Right? That's what it said in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah said, if a guy says to his litigant, listen, I trust you that you don't need to swear a biblical oath. Just swear by your head that what you're saying is truth. So again, Rameir says you can change your mind. Chachamim hold you not. Okay? You can't. Okay? So now the Gemara explained, in the Gemara, and this is what we're into now. The only question, there was an argument to Rav Yudah Amishmul, and Rav Dima B'Reid Rav Nachman. Okay? One said, number one, it's only if he accepted him as one judge. Not as three judges. Accepted him as one judge. Then there's two other judges, so the whole thing applies. But what's more relevant to the Gemara is like this. Rav Yudah Mishmul said, the Machlekes is only when the plaintiff says, if they make a ruling, I forgive the money. The plaintiff, right, who's asking for the money, he says, if these three cattle guys, or your father, my father, whatever, make a ruling that you don't have to pay the money, I accept it. So Rav Yudah Mishmul says, that's when the argument is, can you change your mind or not? But if it's the defendant says, if they make me pay the money, I promise you I'll pay the money, everybody says you could, the defendant could change his mind. That's what Rav Yudah Mishmul said. And Rabbi Yochanan said, "Be'etein loch machlekes." No, the machlekes is even when the defendant says, "I'll give you the money." Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Okay, anyway, Eisvei. So Rava Lepel, one more thing. Rava says the machlekes is be'etein loch. If he says, "I'll give you," meaning the defendant says, "I'll pay you the money," but otherwise, everybody holds you can't change your mind. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So it says like this. Hey, Tzvei Rav Acha bar Tachlifa Rav Acha. Rav Acha bar Tachlifa asked the question to Rav like as follows. One litigant was obligated a biblical shvua to his friend. Like we learned other times in the Gemara, there are three biblical oaths. There are three biblical oaths. Normally in Torah, you swear and don't pay. Rarely do you swear and take money. The whole concept of shvuah, especially the biblical oaths, the biblical shvuah, is a person swears and he gets out of payment. For instance, the first biblical oath is made of a mixus. He admits 50%. I say to you, you owe me $100. You say, no, I owe you 50. No witnesses, no documentation, nothing. I say you owe me 100, you say no, I owe you 50. So the Torah says he has to pay the 50 that he admitted, and he has to swear a biblical oath that he doesn't owe him the rest and he doesn't have to pay.
On the other 50, yeah.
And the other 50 he doesn't have to pay. What happens if he doesn't pay? Doesn't swear, then he has to pay it, halachas. But that's a separate issue. The next biblical oath is what's called Eid Echad. Now normally if I say you owe me $100 and you say I owe you nothing and two witnesses testify you do, so then the Torah says al pishnayim eidim, you have to pay the debt. What happens if there's no witnesses? I say you owe me $100, you say I owe you nothing. No, so biblically there's no oath.
Not swore to anything?
Biblically. Minatera, you don't have to pay. Prove it. You say, oh, you're $100. Prove it. If you don't prove it, I'm not going to pay you. The Chachamim came along and said you have to swear a rabbinic oath called Shvua Sessis, a rabbinic oath that you don't owe him the money. But it's a completely different type of a Shvua. What happens, though, if I say you owe me $100 and one witness says you owe me the $100? Not two witnesses. Two witnesses extract money, makes you pay. One witness, the halacha is, cannot extract money. What does one witness do? Min ha-Torah, biblically, he makes me swear that I don't owe the money. Okay? I say, you owe me $100. You say, you don't. I produce one witness that you do, owe me $100. So you can't extract money because it's only one witness. But what the one witness does is, they make you swear that he doesn't owe, that you don't owe the money.
The witness or the...
No, Bezdin, because of the witness. The witness obligates you in court. The Bezdin obligates you to swear. There's a biblical oath also. And then you swear against the witness, and then you don't have to pay. The third... So this is, again, two cases where you swear and get out of payment. The third case is a shomer. Shomer chinam, shomer sach, whatever the various different guys. So if a shomer chinam was stolen or lost... So the Torah says he doesn't have to pay, but the shomer has to swear that it was stolen or lost, and then he doesn't have to pay the owner of the object. Okay? So all the biblical oaths in the Torah, you swear and don't pay. There are certain times the Chachamim put the shvua on the one that wants to get the money. For instance, made the b'mixas, right? 50, I owe 59. And so normally the guy has to swear. But he's a liar. We know he's a liar. So Bezdin's not going to let him swear. Bezdin's not going to let him swear. He's a liar. He's going to lie. So Bezdin says, then if that's the case, the other guy swears, and then he takes the money. But normally, in Teda, you never swear and take. You always swear to get out of payment. Thank you. You always swear to get out of payment. You don't swear to take payment. Okay, now. What happens? I mean, this was just introduction, not relevant so much to the Gemara. Okay, and learn with us at the end of the Mishnah. A person was obligated a shvuah to his litigant. Either made a mimic or whatever it may be. And he says to him, you know what? Don't swear the biblical oath. We learned last time like this. The biblical oath was very spooky. The biblical oath was very spooky. It was the whole thing. The guy went to Bezdin. They spooked the room. They darkened the room and it became scary. And the guy held a sefer Torah. And they warned him that when the Torah says not to say God's name in vain, in the second of that Aseret Dibros, the whole world trembled. And they made it very, very scary. Okay? So the Mishnah says, a guy comes over to, with the last case of the Mishnah we had. A guy comes over to his friend and says, listen, that's the shvuah you really have to give me. But you know what? Just swear by the life. Like everybody, I swear by the life of my head. You know, people do that today. Especially the Sfaradim do that a lot. I swear by the life of my kids. Doesn't mean anything. Don't care about the kids. But, don't care about the whole life either. But the guy says, you know what? Instead of swearing the biblical shvua, just swear this shvua by yet. So he says, Rameir says the guy could change his mind. Even though he obligated himself to swear, he could change his mind. He can't change his mind. Okay? Now, my love, Mistamba, what case are we talking about over here? But Eisen Nishboim Vale Mishalmin. Where a guy swears and he doesn't pay. Right? Meaning, basically he gets out of payment. Which is considered the concept of mochulach. Mochulach means that if they rule it, I mechul the money. Meaning I'm not going to take the money. So you see from here that the argument between Amir and the Chachamim is even in a case where he's machulach, where it's the defendant, I mean the plaintiff saying, if you swear you don't owe me the money. Which is a question of Rava, because Rava said by machulach, everybody says you could change. But
if you forget that you own or not own, what is this? You have to swear?
If what?
If forget that somebody forget that they hold some money to somebody, what should do?
No, if a guy says like this, you owe me $100.
So
he says, listen, 50, I remember 50, I don't know.
What if he said, I don't remember that at all? Maybe he didn't.
No, then he's kafir.
Not that he wanted.
Or a guy says, you, oh, okay, the same case. A guy says, you owe me $100. He says, you know what? I don't remember.
Yeah, so what's he do?
So the din is then that because you can't swear.
Yeah,
what do you swear? I don't know.
That's
you can't swear. I don't know because what? That's not going to help. So then the Besman says the guy swears and takes. We learned. We mentioned last week also. There's a case, the famous case of Chemveni al Pinkasi. Yeah, because you work for me. You worked for me. Okay, so I have to pay you $100. I say, you know what? Go to the storekeeper. He'll pay you the $100, and I'll pay back the storekeeper. I don't have the money now. The storekeeper will lend me the money, so to speak. He'll give you the money, and I'll owe the storekeeper. Okay, fine. Later you come to me and says, he never gave me the money. You still owe me the $100. The storekeeper says, what do you mean? I gave you the $100. So the storekeeper is coming to me for the $100 that he gave you. The worker comes to me and says, I never got the $100. So there's two people coming to me for $100. Now, I can't swear to get out of payment because I really don't know what happened. What am I supposed to swear? I don't know. I mean, again, what, that's worthless. Yeah? So the Gemara says, the storekeeper swears
that
he gave him the money. The worker swears he never got the money, and I pay each one.
Okay.
I have to pay both. What do you mean, why?
Because you made a mistake of telling him to pay?
No. What do you expect to do?
Can you just have those two guys?
Even though the Gemara says one of them is for sure going to lie in the Shavua,
right.
But we look at each one individually, they're saying the truth.
Can you just make those two guys have to go to court and work out amongst themselves?
How? No, they have nothing. The storekeeper says, I have nothing to do with this guy.
But you
I gave him for you. I did it for you. I don't know this guy. Well, it's not a din Torah between those two. You're not, the storekeeper's not obligated to give the worker money.
But he did.
He said he did.
What if the,
but he did it for me. He didn't do it for him.
But you owe 100. No, you owe 200. You paid 200.
Yeah.
You owe 100. No, you paid 200.
Tough luck.
The storekeeper believed the worker based on his own volition.
Yeah, but as far as the owner is concerned, everybody, you have to understand, the storekeeper and the worker have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
It's all for me.
Why didn't he have to leave the
car? Why didn't he? He didn't. That's the case. I'll give me another case. Two people come and give me money to watch. Yeah? One guy gives me $100, and one guy gives me $200 to watch. Now they come to get back the money. Each guy says, I was the one that gave you 200. I don't remember who gave me the 200. They came together. This guy's a bundle here. Watch this and watch this. 100 and 200. Each guy comes to me and says, 1 minute, I was the one that gave you the 200.
Can't be.
You know what? The din is he has to pay both 200.
He does.
You have $300. How could you pay 400?
Because you were negligent.
You have to come.
You should have said, wait till I come.
You should have, no, you should have said, okay, you gave me this, you gave me this. What?
What about in case of Alzheimer? The guy is written in his book that he gave no signature.
You didn't have Alzheimer at that time.
No, they did.
No, if he they wrote did. In, huh?
So they were,
it depends, so there's a lot of
so
cases
son,
in the Gemara.
The son came to his book, but the father didn't, this happens actually.
Of course it happens.
The father didn't remember anything.
The father writes in the book that he paid it or he owes the money?
No, he was giving as a nuzul, as a
loan.
Loan, yeah.
No.
And in Iran.
And what does the guy say?
The Muslim guy says, no, I don't own it. The court in Islam law says they don't have to pay.
The Torah law also said, prove it.
But there's no, his book says he gave it.
So, maybe he paid it back. Maybe he paid it back. And if there's no signature, what does it mean? I write a paper, you owe me $1,000. What does that mean?
The burden of proof is on the borrower?
The burden of proof is on the one that wants to extract the money. You want to extract money? And we learned why. It's a very simple logic. I have the money. I'm holding the money. The fact that I owe it, hold it, proves it's mine. correct?
Yes.
Okay, if I come over to his Gemara and grab it away and say it's mine.
You have it, you own it.
Yeah, but the fact is that it's his and he's using it shows that it's his. There's a chazaka. It's called chazaka. Established fact that if you hold the money. Okay, if I want to remove money from you, if I want to remove money from you, the burden of proof is on me. I mean, it's logic. It's not the Kabbalah. In any judiciary system, it's like that. The burden of proof is on the one that wants to extract the money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just can't, okay, pay money. Because I say you owe me money. I mean, come on.
Pay money, is that
it? I know.
In this case, both the issues were or not?
Which case?
You grab the books and you say...
No. Okay, so the Gemara answer is no. It's not speaking about the case where you get out of payment, but the Gemara says this refers to case when the Chachamim say, because the other guy can't swear, you swear and take. So therefore it's the case of Etein Loch, and therefore it's not a question on Rava. So the Gemara asks, but Tana Leireisha, but that's already said in the first part of the Mishnah. Why is the case repeating itself? So it says, Tana Teila B'Das Achedim. In other words, here the problem is, in the first case of the Mishnah, it's speaking about not the... Okay, let's get the first two cases straight. The first case of the Mishnah says, I trust my father, I trust your father. Okay? The second case of the Mishnah says, I trust you to swear. So it's only me and you. Here we're dependent on somebody else's opinion. Your father, my father, the shepherds, whatever. So he says, V'tana teile b'das atzmi. And the second case is when he's dependent on himself. The two guys, I trust you as when you swear. Or I don't trust you when you swear. Sricha, and you need both cases. Why? If the Mishnah would only say the first case of the Mishnah that speaks about I trust your father, I trust my father, I trust the shepherds, I would think only then does Rameir hold you could, the guy could change his mind. Why? Because there's somebody else involved. He never conclusively made up to give the money. In other words, like this, when somebody else is involved, I don't make up my mind to give the money if it's just you or me involved. Think about it. If I say, if you swear to me I trust you, yeah, that's much more conclusive than if I say, I trust your father, I trust my father, I trust the shepherds, because then other people are involved. Where do you make up your mind more? Between me and you. When it's me and you, I say to you, you know, swear, I believe you. It's much more that you can't change your mind afterwards. Because I made up. If you swear, I'm going to pay you. Or if you swear, I won't pay. I don't have to pay you. But, miyema de mezakali. So who says the judge will find it in the plaintiff's favor? I don't, you know, I'm relying on somebody else. Maybe they won't like me. Or avol teile b'das atzmi. But then if he does it by himself, maybe Rameh would agree to the Rabbanah that you can't change your mind because you're dependent on somebody else. And the same thing in reverse. If it only say in the second case where the defendant and the plaintiff are talking to each other, that's where the Chachamim hold, you cannot change your mind. But maybe in the case where the guy himself is invited, maybe the Chacham agreed to Rameh that you could change your mind, so it's a Sricha we need, you know. Okay, this is the end of this Gemara. Bottom line is, we still have the argument between Rameh and the Chachamim, if a guy could change his mind or not. And now the Gemara is going to even go into a seemingly a stranger case. What happens if the verdict was in already, can he change his mind? I say, I trust your father as a judge, and the father gives the verdict. Can I say, no, I changed my mind. I didn't want him.
Like appellate court.
But because of the relationship, are you allowed to have your father be the judge?
If you accept them as a judge, you can accept anybody you want. That's what the Mishnah says.
Not cool.
You can accept whoever you... doesn't matter.
Unless it's a witness.
If I accept him as a witness, the Mishnah said before, you can also accept him.
Witness also, you can't say no.
If I accept him as a witness,
after it's verdict, you cannot make it? A shura.
Well, we'll see in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara doesn't say that.
You say that if your kosher witnesses, you accept non-kosher, they, you can always...
Yeah, like at a wedding.
Your cousin
wants you can, to be a
witness. You can decline...
No, no, not... I'm talking in monetary issues.
Monetary issues.
You can't... Okay, there's three levels over here. You go home to eat. Yeah? How do you know the food was kosher? You doubt it. What did he say?
I doubt it.
Oh, you doubt it. No, who do you trust that the food was kosher? I'm serious.
My wife.
Your wife, yeah? You go to a wedding. Yeah, there's a mashgiach. Yeah? Who do you trust that the food's kosher?
Mashgiach.
Is that one witness or two witnesses?
One.
Now, what happens if that mashgiach happens to be a relative of yours? It's still a good mashgiach?
Yeah, not your wife.
Huh?
Yeah, like just like your wife is.
You say... We trust the Jew anyway. Why do you believe him? By the way, just for the record, you should know, a mashgiach is a witness testifying that the food is kosher. Do you know that? How do you know the food's kosher? Mashgiach is, halachically, the mashgiach is a witness testifying that the food is kosher.
One witness is enough?
How many mashgiachim do you have?
I know, there is one.
Or, I'll tell you, is a woman a kosher witness? No. The Vamdushne Anoshim, the men, right? In your kitchen, the wife says, she did it.
I don't trust, I look.
That's when you're the dog, what's it called?
The kennel.
The kennel. What's the din? They're believed. Either one witness and a woman, or a child, a relative, why is it believed? Because by Isurin, by Isur and Heter, yeah. The Gemara says, Eid Echad Nemen Be Isurin. One witness. And the Gemara learns out from Seita and Nida and all the Dinam of the Torah. Bottom line is, he's believed. By Isur and Heter. And therefore, it doesn't have to be a kosher witness, it could be an uncle, has to be an adult, it can't be a 3-year-old kid, Mashgiach, because, you know, but an adult, Baron Bas Mitzvah, Pidin, is believed as one witness, whether they're kosher or not kosher, doesn't matter.
The owner of, Jewish owner of the restaurant?
He's not believed, well, sometimes they do believe him, but the problem is, because it's his business, he is biased, so therefore he might not be honest. And therefore you really need another Mashgiach.
So why did
by the way, I in your house...
It's the same thing.
It's same thing, but it's because it's not a business.
I think RCC does allow.
No, they don't allow. They allow the mashgiach, not the, as a, not that they don't need a mashgiach tmidi. It's not true. Nobody allows it. Only that there's no mashgiach.
Is it Shom HaShabbos? Is they send it out?
You send food to a friend's house, yeah?
Yeah.
And they eat it. Yeah? They eat from your house, so you send food, they eat it. Yeah? How do they know it's kosher? Halachically, how do you know the food's kosher?
It's not trust.
There's a testifying, the family is testifying the food's kosher. But as long as it doesn't come into selling.
There are kosher restaurants that don't have a mashgiach.
They do have a mashgiach. Not a mashgiach tmidi, not 24/7. Or 24/6. Yeah, but because then they have a system set up that there are from people in the place, so they trust them. Whatever, it's irrelevant. Okay, then you don't need any witness. I mean, the person is a kosher witness, even though they're not kosher.
Even if they're not Shomer Shabbos.
Why is
he not? No, it has to be Shomer Shabbos because they have no trust.
It has to be Shomer Shabbos.
Because otherwise, they don't have trust.
So, not Shomer Shabbos, rather says the food's kosher, you can't trust.
Alpidin, you can't trust.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, that's one category of witnesses that even non-kosher witnesses are kosher.
What did he say? Not Shomer Shabbos, rabbi.
Relatives.
Oh, relatives.
Those two, by the way.
We have those two.
Yeah. There are very few Shomer Shabbos rabbis. Okay. Then you have another type of a witness to testify on monetary issues. Now, normally, a relative is not believed to testify on monetary issues. But what happens if I believe him? I say, you know what? I believe this witness. I accept him. So then, because it's monetary, any monetary condition that you make, even though it goes against the Torah, the halacha of the Torah, Torah says, when it comes to monetary issues, any condition you make is valid.
But you're putting yourself in jeopardy.
That's your problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay? If Aaron HaKohen, you know, he had a brother called Moshe. Nice guys. Yeah? If Aaron says, you know what, I have a legal dispute, money with somebody, but I trust my brother Moshe. Okay? I'll be then, it's a good witness? Yes. Even though Moshe and Aaron are not kosher witnesses because they're brothers. But in monetary issues, you're allowed to make masna masha kosher betayla. If it's not, if it's monetary issues, it's fine. Okay, that's number two. Then you have non-monetary issues. Like, for instance, Kedushin. Kedushin is not monetary issues. It's not Issa Veheter. So over there, the witnesses must be kosher. You can't say, I accept them, because it's not monetary. I accept them as kosher witnesses, because the Torah says, it's not a monetary issue. You need kosher witnesses to make it happen. And by the way, the Rebbe explains, this is Rogachev, but the Rebbe explains, interesting, normal witnesses is to verify. Normal witnesses.
Yeah.
I loaned you $1,000. Okay, we have witnesses. Yeah, what do I need the witnesses for? To verify that it happened if somebody denies it. Yeah?
Yeah?
If I tell you I owe you $1,000, do I need witnesses to make it happen? I say, no, I owe you $1,000. I have to pay the $1,000, correct?
Yeah.
You don't need witnesses. By Kedushin and by Get, it doesn't work like that. The Gemara says in Kedushin, we learned it when we're learning Kedushin. If a guy goes into a room with a girl, and he gives her a ring, and says, Arat Mekudesh shall sleep at Tabazu, Kedash Meshav Yisrael.
Not in front of
you. In a room alone. Nobody's there. And they come out, and they say, yes, I gave the ring. She says, I got the ring. Mazel Tov. It's worthless. Ein Cheshish in the Kedushin. It's not even a doubt that the Kedushin is invalid. Lucheda, why? Why? I say it happened. She says it happened. What do you need it for?
Weakness.
So the Rebbe explained, the Rogachev explains, that by Kedushin and by Gittin, the witnesses are not to verify, it's to make it happen. In other words, over there, the witnesses make it, just like the ring giving is the making it happen, the testimony of two witnesses makes it happen. So over there, it doesn't help if the person says, I accept it.
Must be kosher witnesses.
There have to be kosher witnesses, and it doesn't matter what I say, I accept them. But in our Mishnah, and the Mishnah before, by the way, if a guy says, I accept the relatives as witnesses, the mayor says you could change your mind. In Chacham mode, you can't.
You brought a case a while back that in high school or somewhere, a boy gave two...
In front of friends.
Friends. You said, so they had to... It was not accepted. Because they were not kosher.
No, that sometimes there was a problem.
If they were kosher?
If there were kosher, two boys were there, kosher witnesses.
If there were Shomer Shabbos...
Yeah.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
Rabbi, for financial issues, can you accept even non-Shomer Shabbos, or again, you still can't?
You could.
For financial, you could accept non-Shomer Shabbos.
Yeah, but again, it has to be who's accepting.
Both sides you have to accept.
The other side has to accept. I can't say that you'll bring, let's say, I say you owe me money.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring a non-Shomer Shabbos witness to say I don't, that you don't. I don't have to. It's not, what do you mean? I'm not accepting. Because you accepted him. I'm not accepting him.
Litigants, the Edim have to always testify in front of litigants, or it doesn't have to be?
Edim have to testify in front of Bezdin.
That's all. Not litigants, they don't have to be around.
Bezdin has to be.
In any of these cases.
Right.
Even in Israel, there?
What do you mean, Israel?
Meaning that the kosher restaurants. I mean, the Mashiach is there. We never know who the Mashiach is.
Ask. You rely.
We don't have to ask.
You rely on the kashrus organization. That is good. Okay, way off topic. Let's go. Amir
Ish Logish. There's a difference between a, definitely a difference between a Shomer Shabbos, and non-Shomer Shabbos, maybe monetary cases.
Correct.
A non-Shomer Shabbos, it can make somebody for the Shavua, no?
Today, again, these biblical Shavuos we don't have.
But it's more valuable when the aid is...
Alpidina, a witness has to be a Russia. The Torah says a Rashi can be an aid.
In the beginning we said anybody could be a...
If they accept him. But I'm saying normally a witness. A non-Shemesh Shabbos person saw murder.
Monetary.
I'm saying, no. Can they testify?
Monetary?
Of course they can. They should be able
to. If they're not Shemesh Shabbos.
Rabbi, actually, in Perikach, he's talking about it. He says if a person keeps all the mitzvahs, he keeps mitzvahs, but he's an Amoretz, he's believed.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean. But I said if he's not Shemesh Shabbos, I didn't say if he's Amoretz.
I know he says if the person is a moral person and he's not.
But if he's not Shemesh Shabbos, then Alpidin, he's not a kosher witness. He's a Russian.
Dinu Kaakum.
No, he's not believed. If Moshe and Aaron saw murder.
No, they're not believed.
No, of course not.
Why not? They're going to lie?
That's for sure. They're relatives.
Brothers.
Okay. It's exactly the cause. No logic.
The murder is going to go free if two non-Shomer Shabbos agents see the murder.
Correct.
That doesn't make sense. I don't make sense.
And Moshe and Aaron saw it, he's also going to go free.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't make sense.
I know that for sure. You should make dollars instead. Moshe and Aaron saw a murderer is also not going to be believed. He's also going to go off free.
Why?
It's exactly because of also. Why? Why should Moshe and Aaron not be more reliable than me and you?
100%
reliable. Moshe and
Aaron. To tell you the truth, Rabbeinu, I don't understand that one either.
It's exeris hakosuf. Now, if you think about it with chassidus, you should not have the question. Because if God set it up in such a way that there should be no witnesses, what did God do? Hashem set it up like that.
Hashem doesn't want to get killed now.
That's all. Right?
But Hashem wanted two good people to see it. Hashem wanted Moshe and Aaron to see it.
So they have to think what's their on Avedus Hashem of seeing the murder.
Still,
no.
Still he's not going to get killed.
Yeah. Right.
Don't worry, Hashem has his ways.
Why are they, Moshe and Aaron, seeing that scene?
Why is
he saying it? It's in between them.
That's between them and God. Let him work on it.
That boy.
What?
Mashkiach, maybe ladies, is okay?
Yeah.
Alpidinya.
How about for monetary? You can give the lady as a witness?
No? If both accept,
there's a cost.
If both accept,
but if they don't, if he didn't, they're not kosher witnesses.
If a groom mashgiach who divorces his wife and he's back with her intimately, is he a kosher mashgiach?
Yeah.
Do we have a fifth?
Oh, without kiddush law.
The fifth?
I mean,
no.
You saw it, and you don't want to talk.
No, the Torah says it's a negative commandment. One who saw witness. The Torah says, if you see a testimony, you don't testify. It's a very bad sin.
So the problem is, then if you testify, then you're the guy you have to actually kill the guy yourself too, right? The witnesses have to kill him.
No. So
you don't want to kill the guy. You have someone else kill him. Can you say
you didn't kill him. A guy that killed somebody. They should feel bad that they did murder. They didn't do it. God told them to do it.
Some people are afraid to say that. But the goyim different from if a Jew sees a goyim murder, he doesn't have to testify.
Why not?
It is am. It has to be your am. No.
Yeah, but there's no chiyah. But the proper thing is to testify.
But it's not going against the Torah.
There's a whole debate in the contemporary halacha, what the Jewish stand of capital punishment in the secular system.
No
controversy.
As far as the Jew seeing a murder of goyim,
they should go to court. If it's between two goyim.
Yeah, between goyim. I'm talking about goyim. But the pasuk doesn't talk about goyim. It talks about the Jew. That it's a big oven.
My brother-in-law is in South Africa. Now he's not doing well, but he was a lawyer at the beginning. Then he moved up all the way up to a judge. But from Chlubavitcher guy. So the first case he tried was two goyim in South Africa killed each other at night. One guy killed the other. And in the court case, he said, how did you see him? He said, the witness, how did you see that he killed him? He said, to the moonlight. But he knew that was the beginning of the month, and there was no Levana. He said to the judge, check the almanac, and you'll see there was no moon that night. And he got him off the case because of that.
He's a guy who fought for
Yarmulke. The lawyers can wear yarmulkes in court in South Africa.
Was he still a lawyer or became a judge?
No, he's not 12. He became a judge for a while.
He's not well.
So a Jew has to still go to court and testify that, yeah, I saw the.
If you're subpoenaed, you go.
But if not.
A guy should go anyway because get murderers off the street.
If there is something happening and 50 people see it,
it's
dangerous. The whole city is seeing it.
Yeah.
And I see it too. So I say there is enough witnesses. Right. What do they need me for?
It's not a car accident. You want to drive away. You don't want to be
a witness. Right. You're in a hurry. This, that.
What happens if everybody thinks the same way like you?
Which they do, but they always
do. No, the question is more, what do two brothers do if they saw the moon?
Ignore it. Oh, they only send one person.
One goes and the other one doesn't. Because they both go, they're not kosher. Not only that, which another exercise cost, which is completely logical by witnesses, is if there's 100 witnesses and one is not kosher, all 100 are not kosher. The Gulen, that's why by a chuppah you dedicate the witnesses. Designate the witnesses. Otherwise, there's a bunch of non-kosher people underneath there—the brothers, sister, parents, in-law, whatever.
Same is with capital punishment. The majority of Bet Din must—is it by two or is it majority?
No, by capital punishment it has to be 13-10.
By three.
No, because you can't go by majority of one. So if you have a Bezin 23, the only majority of two you can have is 13-10.
The rabbi who's doing the ceremony be counted as one of the witnesses?
Yeah, if he's not relative, yeah.
And what are you witnessing? You don't even know them. If somebody says...
Doesn't matter. You see that this man put the ring on this woman.
That's all you witness.
That's all you need to see.
They make the wedding. The
Edom,
right?
Edom is the most important part of the wedding. They make it happen.
They not hear that they accept it, and then they put the ring.
If the woman sticks out her finger and the guy puts on the ring, how can you have more acceptance than that? Action is better than words, my friend.
But you're not supposed to know if
why
they're
asking
that the rabbi has to know.
Okay, so it's not nothing to do with that.
If an Orthodox competent rabbi is doing a wedding, I can assume that he did the research. Okay. But I have to think that he didn't.
What about the king?
Orthodox.
For what?
Kiddushin.
It's not a Kedushin Kenyan. What Kenyan?
When you do the Ketubah.
That's the Chosin binding himself legally to what it says in the Ketubah. What does that have to do with it? It's not Kedushin.
That's the binding.
Of the Ketubah, but it's financial. Ketubah is only a financial statement.
She come here Tuesday night.
Amen Ishlakish. Rish Lakish says, okay, Machlekes Lefnei Gmar Din. This that the litigant could change his mind is only before the verdict. Aval Ach Gmar Din, but after the verdict, Divrei HaKol Bot Ramei and the Chachamim hold Ein Yochel Lachz, but you can't change your mind. Okay? The Vyechen and Omer, Lach Gmar Din Machlekes. After the Gmar Din is the Machlekes. Dafke after the verdict. Then you could, is the argument if you could change your mind or not. So the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yechanan, La'acha Gemara Din Machlekes, did Rabbi Yechanan say that the argument between a man and a chacham, if you could change your mind, is after the verdict? But before the verdict, everybody says you could change your mind? What did Rabbi Yechanan mean? Meaning, Reish Lakish said clearly, you can only change your mind, according to Rabbi Yechanan, before the verdict. After the verdict, everybody says you cannot change your mind. Rabbi Yechon says the argument is even after the verdict. Does he mean the argument is even after the verdict, and before the verdict for sure there's an argument? Or does he say, no, the argument is only after the verdict. Before the verdict, everybody says you could change your mind. What did Rabbi Yechonin say?
Yeah, it seems like it's 2 weeks ago. Right before the foreman comes out, the guy said, before the foreman says the word,
no.
He said, I'm going to say that it's my fault. I'm guilty.
I
admit. So right before the foreman says anything, he said, I admit.
Where is this?
I heard it already. So the judge says, because foreman didn't say it, this is your sentence. So he sentenced him. And then the radio said, had he not said anything, his sentence would have been much more.
What did the foreman come back? Guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Guilty.
See, in Torah, that wouldn't matter, the whole thing. Because the guy's not believed to say he's guilty. Enough, it's a monetary issue. But guilty doesn't mean monetary. Guilty means...
This was capital murder.
Okay. So I'm saying, if a guy comes to Bez and says, I killed somebody, he's not believed. So if the litigant... Abchad, there's no jury system. I mean, the whole system is different than Torah. But if a guy says, I'm guilty, in Bez Din, you don't believe him. Because you can't testify against yourself.
What if he senses he's losing the case? I admit.
Torah law is not believed.
Yeah, we just in the Rambam that could be he wants to die, he's crazy. And
no, they not the Meitzim Satz Mirosh. Adam Karavetz Alatz Me.
Why can't you testify against yourself? He because admits
but you're related to yourself. You're not believed.
Yeah, but he admits it.
Doesn't matter. Only monetary things.
Monetary
if thing. I admit I owe you $1,000, yeah, I have to pay. Mm-hmm. But if I say I did an Aveda, if a guy comes to Bezdin and says, Bezdin, guess what? I just had a good cheeseburger. Give me Malkus.
No, I killed that guy.
Torah says you don't believe him.
Why do you believe it's financial? Why is that different?
Because I can give a gift.
It's considered a gift.
Financial, even, those baldin kamei edim, even if two witnesses say, I don't owe the money. And the guy says, I do. The guy says, I never paid the debt.
Yeah.
And two witnesses say, yes, we saw you pay the debt. He still has to pay the money.
What if two people have murdered someone, and both of them say they murdered?
Huh?
Two people together.
No.
God forbid, murder someone.
No.
And both of them come and say that we murdered.
They're both not believed.
He wants to say there are two witnesses. Right?
They're both not believed.
They say no.
But the guy question is, we'll see in the Gemara, it was called Palgin and Dibure. Do you split a guy's testimony? If a guy comes to court and says, this woman committed adultery with me. And another witness says, she committed adultery. Now, the guy that testified she committed adultery with me, do you split his words in half? That she committed adultery, we believe him, but not with me.
You have
to. Hagin in the Buddha, it's all Gemara, it's all over the place.